You are listening to the Average Joe's podcast, where we understand that we were just ordinary, everyday sinners who, by the grace of God, have now become just ordinary, everyday saints who now live for the glory of God as ambassadors for Christ. Each week, we have a conversation with fellow believers to hear how God has moved and is still moving in their lives and how God is now using these brothers and sisters in Christ to advance His kingdom agenda. In this episode of the Average Joe's podcast, we hear from Dr. Charles Young from the Sharper Conference at Bell Shoals Baptist Church in Brandon, Florida. And Dr. Charles Young talks a little bit about some of the ways that he has been used by God on the mission field and the different places where he's been planted to bring individuals, to draw individuals to God. And it's really, I really enjoyed this talk. I actually sat through this talk at Bell Shoals during the conference. Really enjoyed it. A lot of good stories. You definitely hear Dr. Young's passion for the Lord and passion for lost individuals, lost people in the world, and certainly infectious. And I certainly am hopeful that by listening to him today, that would be infectious to you. It certainly was to me to get out there and to share the good news of the gospel with anyone and everyone who God places in our path. So I hope you enjoy this episode.
Well, good. What is it? Morning. Good morning. I'm Charles Young, and I've been in the ministry since 1973. You have my outline in front of you, and it's also, I guess, on the little flash drive that they handed out. I'm an evangelistic person. That's what I do. In 1970, I led someone to the Lord, and it just felt right. And so I've been doing it ever since, and I've always been looking for things that will work and how to do it and how to make it better and on, and I've had some pretty good success. So today, the name of this class is Proven Evangelism, because this is stuff that I know works. I'm not going to tell you the stuff I learned that didn't work. That's just a waste of time. I have a recorder on. That's just in case I should say something smart. Just in case. So I'm going to turn that on right now, and then we're going to get started. Hold on a second.
Where's your outline?
It's coming. It's my lovely assistant, Vanna, over here.
My wife's a backseat mom.
His wife.
You were close. Valerie.
Valerie, yeah. Now, I said that I am evangelistic. Let me just tell you what happens in my life. I'm always looking for ways to lead people to the Lord or get other people to do the same thing. And I teach a seminary class at Zephyr Hills Prison, which is, I've told them flat out, I'm not interested in pouring into your life if you're not willing to pour into somebody else's. I go overseas. I'm leaving the 16th of March. I teach in an underground Muslim seminary in North Africa, Muslim converts, which is people that are doing crazy things, leading their world to the Lord. They put the church to shame on this side of the pond. I'm also involved in something I call vocational church. And what I've done is I've opened my house, and today I have 15 ex-addicts in my house, and all of them are on quite a journey. And many of them have been accepting the Lord just in the last few months. I go Sunday nights to Salvation Army, Adult Rehabilitation Center, and that's where they house 150 guys. And these 150 guys, some of them, 25 to 30 or so, come to my class on Sunday evening, and many, many, many of them accept the Lord. I baptize 25 to 30 a year, something like that, just in a swimming pool. I'm not a staff member here, so there. I'm what you call a faith missionary, and so that's just kind of the way I roll. I'm going to look at the outline today, and I'm going to fly, I hope, and I don't know what time this class is supposed to stop, because the last guy didn't stop on time, so I have liberty. I've tried a lot of things in evangelism, and from door to door, man, that's hardcore. If you can do door to door, you can do anything. And I've stopped people in the mall and sat down with them and led people to the Lord in the mall. That's hardcore. But I figured out since then that most people aren't into hardcore. They don't want to do that. And so I've figured out ways that are a little bit more soft in their approach. Now, here's the philosophy, if you will. First of all, I like the idea of a common journey. I like to make people think that we're all on a common journey. I'm not way up here and you're way down here. That's condescending and folks don't like that. And so when you're sharing your faith with people, you know, it's the old feel, felt, found. I know how you feel. I felt that way myself, but here's what I found that works for me. And people will listen to that because it's a common journey. If I come off like a Pharisee, people don't like that. And anybody here hates Pharisees? Yeah, there's probably a Pharisee sitting right there. He can't stand it. I'm sorry, never mind. Here's the way you invite some people to a seeker group. Now, I've started seeker groups. I was a missionary in Portugal, and they gave me 2 years to figure out how to infiltrate the workplace. Well, I did it. It was really cool. It was like a gift. Somebody giving me time to do something that only had one thing in mind. I was single-minded, and I worked it out. And by the time it was over, I had maybe a dozen groups going and lost people coming in these groups, every one of them accepting the Lord, because that's what they were there for. And the invitation that I always taught my host, it goes like this. Let's see, Bob, you know that I'm trying to be a follower of Jesus. I just want God to bless my life, that's all. And I've got this guy that's agreed to come and help me, and he said that if I wanted to, I could invite some other folks. So we're going to meet 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. You're welcome to come if that's something that interests you. And that's it. And what I'm looking for is what I call low-hanging fruit. I don't want the atheist to come and get, I don't even want church people to come because they won't shut up. They want to tell all they know, and they bring this big Bible in and drop it down, and it scares everybody. And you know, I'd rather have people come that just want to know how to connect with God, and here's the way I like to say it, without the confusion of religion. Okay, it must make sense, and I think when you're talking to people, you got to find out where they're coming from, but man, it's hard to start in John chapter 3. You know, who's John? Seriously, right? And what's he got to do with all this? And I like to start at the beginning. And where is the beginning? No, it's not in Genesis. It's before Genesis. The Bible is God's word. Once you get that part in your mind, then the rest is easy. If you can't get that through your head, then you're going to be debating a lot. So I start in the very beginning that the Bible is God's word. And let me tell you why I think that's true. And so it must make sense. I got something in my mouth. Sorry. And here's what I like to say. Take what they're willing to give. So if a person will give you, okay, I'll take a gospel tract. Take it. That's good. Don't go for the jugular. Just go, you know, just take what you could get, and then you ask for a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, and after a while, before you know it, you've drawn people in and you've gotten them in. This is philosophy. You know, don't try for the, you must be born again, and if you're not, you're going to have, oh my gosh, that's just a little bit like drinking from a fire hose. Who wants to do that? Remember when Jesus said, go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in? Remember when he said that? How do you compel people? Here it is. You have to say something compelling. Duh. You have to say something. That's why I like to say, connect with God without the confusion of religion. That's compelling. I like to say, where are you on your journey? I like to say, let me tell you what happened in my life. There's certain things you can say that draw people in without putting people off. You have to compel them to come in. And I like the idea. Now listen to me about follow the pain. That's my ministry mantra, follow the pain. If you follow the pain, it'll lead you to people that want some help. It'll lead you to some people that need some help. It'll lead you to people that will accept the help. I go to the prison, and one thing's for sure in prison, a lot of pain there. and a lot of guys mess their lives up. And they're trying to figure out how to get it on a better track. Even if, and I go every once a month and preach a sermon there. One of the sermons I preached when I was there was "Bloom Where You're Planted." I went through the Bible and looked up all the people that were in prison in the Bible. You know, all the people in the Bible were jailbirds. I mean, every one of them spent time in jail. Daniel was in prison, and Joseph was in prison, and Paul was in prison. Even Jesus was in prison, was he not? So I did a sermon on bloom where you're planted. Paul conquered Rome with a pen while in prison. So I want the guys to know that this is your lot in life. You got to make the most of it. You can sit around and mope all you want. But don't do that. You feed your soul if you do something good for somebody else. Following the pain. I go to Salvation Army. Oh, the messed up lives. It's awful. You know, I asked one guy, tell me about your dad. He said, I didn't know my dad. He said, my mom was a whore. And I would have to leave the house for her to, and I'm going, oh my gosh, what? He said, then my mom got murdered, and I watched they made me watch my mother get murdered when I was like 6 years. I'm going, that's more than I wanted to hear. There's a lot of pain in the world. And you follow the pain, and you'll find how it works. Tentacles. Now let me tell you about this. I have 15 guys now living out in Valrico here that are ex-addicts. In vocational church, here's what we do. We try to get guys spiritually and vocationally balanced. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. So I want them to find a job. You got to have dignity. You got to have a paycheck, not just a check, but an income from a real company with a real check, with a real future, and a real job. You know, not just chasing a paycheck. So we work to get all that done. Right now we've got 13 of them that have jobs. We're doing really good. I want them to get spiritually balanced, so I put a mentor in front of everyone. Personal mentor for every guy. And by the way, these guys all come to church. But let me tell you about tentacles. They all have families. Everybody's got a family. And right now we've had three of the fiance, what are we calling them these days? Baby mama, mostly. This last Sunday, one of the girls, her boyfriend, he's so changed. She can't believe the change in his life. And we're just brainwashing. That's what we're doing. You know, it's amazing what comes out. And so she's watching him, and she's got herself a Bible, and she wants to know how it works, and this is so cool, and she's coming to class now. So Sunday, this is funny, I went to the, she had questions. Now, it's always the same questions, and the questions are, what does it mean, let us make man in our image, you know, or where did Cain get his wife, and blah, 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 stupid, you know, that kind of, it's always the same questions. And I like, did Adam have a belly button? You'll have to think about that. But tentacles. So here we are. We're sitting at the dinner table in Applebee's after church. This is fun. And so I said, you know, I think I know where you are. She said, where? I said, well, let me tell you a story about Jacob. And so I told the story of Jacob and wrestling with God, right? And his name became is the ladder from heaven and all that and the struggle. And he finally had to ask God to bless him. The first half of the night, he was fighting him off. Second half of the night, he's holding on for dear life. I said, that's where I think you are right now. I think that's you. And she said, well, that's cool, you know. And I said, so here's what I want to do. I'm going to help you to tell God that I want you to bless me. And if you want me to, I'll help you. She said, okay, I want to. So we bowed our heads there at Applebee's, and I took her by the head, and she prayed the sinner's prayer, which is pretty neat. And I looked around, all these church people were smiling at me. Okay. I said, wow. They were all kind of watching what went on. Let me tell you what happened. I got in the car. This is so cool. On the way home, and turned on the radio, and they were playing We Are Climbing Jacob's Ladder. Not condescending, never talking down to people. That's the problem we have. You Christians, you think you're so high and mighty. They get tired of being talked down to. man, let me just share with you what happened in my life and what it did for me. Well, that's not condescending. But we love our soapbox, you know. Oh, the homosexuals, yeah, they're not Steve and not Adam and Steve. But the question is, are you trying to condemn them or are you trying to win them? Your conversation changes when you're trying to win them. You understand me? Don't be talking down to folks. Keep going here. Here's one of the things I learned. Never go alone. If you're going to go lead someone to the Lord, take somebody with you. I don't have any ministry that I do in my life that I don't have somebody with me, and sometimes two, three, four people. I've always got people with me. And years ago when I was pastoring, way back, I had this kid I led to the Lord, and his name was Ken. I took Ken out. We'd go soul winning every Tuesday because he had Tuesday off because he worked the weekends. So every Tuesday we'd go soul winning. And I was the mentoring time. You know, we're just chatting about things. And every now and then we'd lead someone to the Lord. And he got all crazy about all this. And just this last year, he retired from the ministry. Never go alone. Pay the price. I don't know what that means, but that's a great line. Whatever it is, pay the price. Let's talk about evangelistic tools. Now, I have some evangelistic. Let me talk about tracks. I made this little track for our guys at the vocational church. There's what it says, connect with God without the confusion of religion. Well, that's interesting. You hand that to somebody, they're going to go, well, now that's, how does that work? You know, there's something about that. I remember that I was in a business networking group, and I was the pastor in the group, you know, and I said, hi, I'm Charles Young. I help people connect with God without the confusion of religion. This guy came to me afterwards and says, how does that work? I mean, I said, well, let's have coffee and I'll tell you about it. And I have a video of him now saying, I was an atheist, and now I'm not. He was a lawyer. You know, all lawyers are atheists. And, but inside, this is really simple. This is just a little simple gospel track, and it's nothing fancy about it. But it's good enough so that one of my guys from vocational church can share it with somebody else. Just simple enough. It's got the little sinner's prayer on there. It asks questions. It says on the top, here's why you're struggling. Well, that's compelling. Why am I struggling? What's going on here? Here's what you have been seeking. Well, that's interesting, right? On the back, it's got information, and I'll tell you this as we get down here. But there's two websites on there. One is called ineedgod.net. And I have a little business card that we hand out, and all it says is connect with God without the confusion of religion. ineedgod.net. No names on there, just something you can have. Well, I mean, that's compelling. What do you think? And by the way, those are on there in English if you want to look at it, and it's also there in Arabic, so you can brush up on that. On the bottom, it says vocationalchurch.net. Now, every time I speak, I put this thing on, and I put it on a website. So that anybody that wants to, do people go there? Now and then, I don't care. It's available. And someday somebody will find it. And the reason I did the ineedgod.net, I did that for the tribulation period. Honestly, I think there's a lot of people be searching for God during the tribulation period. So, and that's just, it's just out there. I don't know. It's just got to think about stuff like that. But this vocational church has right now about a year's worth of messages on it, ranging from what were they thinking to one of them I use out the. I shouldn't say, but I'm gonna. I had a message that I preached at the Salvation Army called "Saved in a Whorehouse." Well, it was about Rahab,
yeah,
and her whole family. She, everybody that she could bring into her house got saved. What a cool thing! All right, never mind that. So those are on there, and I'm just making tools available. That's all. I just figure for. I'm not doing it to become famous. I'm doing it because I'm getting old and just for posterity's sake, if you know what I mean. All right, I have a t-shirt that we use, and this is what my guys use. They wear that down to the Salvation Army Red Shield Lodge and here and there. And the Red Shield Lodge is like a Salvation Army flop house. And they engage people. They get at the table and engage. It is so cool to watch my guys learn how to give their testimony. And then they're giving their testimony to other guys. And actually, honestly, leading people to the Lord, which is so cool. I wrote a book, and I give this book away a lot at Salvation Army. I don't sell books. I tried that, and I was embarrassed that no one would buy them. So I give this away at Salvation Army. Connect with God, or what's it, God or religion. And this gives them permission not to be a fan of religion without throwing out God. And when they read this, they go, I should have written that. That is, I mean, that's the way I think. That's cool, you know. So it'll lead folks to the Lord. So I wrote this book. And by the way, these are all available on Amazon. And if you ever buy one, it doesn't matter. They never give me money anyway. So I'm giving up on that. I have a little workbook that I made that, hold on a second. Hold on. If I didn't have these in a box, I'd be a little bit better off. Golly. Connect with God without the confusion of religion. It's just a little workbook, and inside it's got the video lessons. I've done 15 video lessons, starting with the Bible is God's Word, lesson number 2, creation. What happened there? Not how, but why? And lesson number 3, the fall. Lesson number 4. So all the way through, so that it makes sense. And those outlines are in this book with the website on there so they can look at it. It's a workbook that I hand the guys at Salvation Army that want to go a little deeper. Now, I end up with 25, 30 guys. The guys in the back row sleep. The guys in the front row are the ones I'm shooting at. And I hit them now and then, especially when I bring them out to where we are. So here's tools. Let's see, I'm looking at my outline. I have a training others. This is what I, rule number 2. Here it is, never go alone. Did I say that before?
Yes.
That's a good thing to say again. It's better than pay the price, because I don't even know what that means. My own outline. Always take somebody with me. Right now, I've got one of the guys. I stand him up. He preaches. He was a drug addict for 25 years. Lived out behind Walmart for 2 years in a tent. Finally, God got hold of him, and it was just an amazing experience. And he has turned from one addiction to another. He's addicted to Jesus now. And he's just going crazy. And he goes to where the homeless people feed, because that's where he went. Now, he knows it's his circle, it's his little world, you see. But I get him up and make him preach. And I've got another guy, he gives his testimony, and boy, people like to be shocked by the testimony. He's got a big scar in his neck, and he'll say, this is where they cut my throat down on Nebraska. And I make them tell their story, their testimony. And testimony is a good tool. I say baby steps. If you're trying to turn your church evangelistic, start with something simple. Could I just get you to hand this to somebody this week? That's all. Just that, you know, even a monkey can do that. Just make him, ask him to hand it out, right? And just say, it's in your pocket. And you know what'll happen? It'll burn a hole in their pocket. They'll go, oh my gosh, I gotta give this to somebody. I told the pastor I'd give this thing away. I gotta give it away. And I say, go as far as people will let you go, you know, and maybe you're a little more comfortable. And I'll tell you what I used to do when I'd knock on door. This is hardcore. I'd knock on the door like this, and I'd hold my little track up like that, and I'd push the track toward the door when they came to the door. So I'm just taking every little inch I can get, and I just pushed. No, you just, like I'm. If you take this, I'm gone. And then if they open the door, I would say, oh, and by the way, inside here, it tells you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. I guess we all care about that, don't we? And just see what they say. I don't know. And if they say, well, yeah, well, that's for sure, then I would pull it back and not give it to them. Does that interest you? I'm kind of a specialist in that area. I love to tell you how that works if you want to know. I had so many people accept the Lord. So many. And they come to church. One couple, I led them to the Lord, and they called themselves Charlie's Angels. They did. So testimony, let's talk about testimony real quick. This is what my life was like before. Here's what happened to me. And here's what my life has been like since. And the here's what happened to me should have the word Jesus in it somewhere. Mm-hmm. Not just went to church and, you know, and opened my eyes. No. There ought to be a born again experience in there. You know, a famous man once said, if you're not born again, you don't go to heaven. So I have my guy stand up in class. I say, okay, it's your turn. Get up. Give me here your testimony. I want the 3-minute version. And they get up and they get all messed up, you know, and they get it all wrong. And so we work out a little bit. And I think you ought to be able to tell your story, don't you? You'd be surprised how much value there is in your story. You know, the Bible's full of those guys that gave their testimony. Paul gave it over and over again. And he had four steps in Acts 26. You ever notice? This is what my life was like before. This was the encounter I had with Jesus. This is what my life's been like since. And then the fourth one he added, what do you think about that? Does that interest you? I'm trying to draw them in. Let me show you this book, if I can dig it out. This one's called Intentional Evangelism. And here's what I want you to know about the evangelism. If you don't set out to do it, it won't get done. You're going to tell yourself, I'm doing this. And this has 10 lessons in there that are from the Bible that you can teach people to be evangelistic. Here's a lesson. So it's a Sunday school book. But just for fun, it says that you should think intentionally, testify intentionally, teach intentionally, talk intentionally. Then I run out of T's. Plan intentionally, fish intentionally draw the net, and pray intentionally. You ever seen the Baptist prayer list? 99% sick people. Why don't we pray for something that lasts a little longer than I don't want to be the one to say this. We're not getting out of this alive. We Baptists pray for immortality, do we not? Oh, there go. Please pray that God intervenes, and we're so afraid of sending our people to heaven. What's wrong with that? We don't want them to go to heaven. This, you'll like that one. How am I doing on my outline? Oh, seekerministry.com. Let me tell you about that one. If I had time, I'd take you to it. But that's a website that I designed as a result of my time in Portugal that says, here's how you start a seeker group. Here's how you do it. And there's a manual you could download. There's testimonials on there. One Jewish girl says, Charles, he came to our house and he told me about God. And she said, I grew up Jewish. And she says, now I'm a completed Jew. There's so many resources on that site that tells you how to do this. Now, if you drop me off in Pittsburgh tomorrow, I'd start a seeker group somewhere. And I'd go find one Christian that wouldn't be afraid to go invite some folks using my carefully crafted invitation. Hey, you know, I'm just trying to be, and not everybody can do that. Some people are dumb. Some people, you know, they want to. Some people are dumb. I had this girl in Portugal, and she was strategically placed. She was a big shot in the bank. I thought, this is going to be awesome. She's going to use an invitation, and people are going to come that are curious about what this whole thing means. And she sent out an email saying, are there any Baptists in the company? Well, that was the end of it. I mean, what? Exactly. So seekerministry.com has everything on there that you would ever want to have. And this is what we used at Bell Shoals. They handed out this little book of mine called Charging Hell with a Squirt Gun. This is cool. This is fun. Every time I read this, I go, wow, I like that. That's cool. Did I write that? And this particular book has stories in it about, and it inspires people. I've got folks that have read this book, and let me tell you about Albert, my friend. He was an Egyptian guy, and I met him because I was trying to meet this Egyptian guy, and I needed somebody to interpret, and so this guy, Albert, showed up. He was Coptic. You know what a Coptic is? That's Egyptian Catholic, essentially. So here he was Coptic. And so we sat and talked. We kind of ignored the other guy. And we just sort of had this bond going on. And he said, I'd love to go to the prison. I said, well, come on, we can go to the prison. And then he said, I'd love to. And I gave him my God or Religion book. He said, I should have written this. I hate my religion. He started 6 Coptic churches around Tampa Bay area. He was the godfather. And he said, but now I've been reading my Bible and I'm ruined. He says, I can't get anybody to talk about the Bible in church. He said, it's terrible. And so he read that book. So what did he do? He went back right away and he started accosting the priest. And I said, no, man, you're shooting too high. You got to shoot down here, you know. These guys are on the dole. They get paid. Get the people who are just hungry. So he read this book, and he said, I think I have it. Okay, I got this now, because it talks about how to present the gospel. He quit his job. I said, Albert, don't quit. He quit his job, and now he's full-time leading Coptics to Jesus. And God just takes care of him somehow. I don't know how, but he takes care of him. And now he's going over to, he goes to Jordan at the Syrian border where all those refugees are, and he leads hundreds of Muslims to Jesus that say, you know, the guy that's cutting off the head says Allah Akbar. The guy that's getting his head cut off says Allah Akbar. He said, how do you reconcile that? He said, well, let me tell you another name. Here's a book that'll get me in trouble. It's called Deeper Bible Thinking, and I hand this to my guys. And this is the one that says, it's the one that attacks Jeremiah 29:11. You know, because everybody knows Jeremiah 29:11. Nobody heard of Jeremiah 29:10. You really ought to read the verse before, and it'll give a little context. Okay, so anyway, that's just that kind of thing. So just to tell you this, and I'm almost out of time, and I'm digging through this stupid box here. This is a workbook that I made for the prison, in my prison ministry, because I was doing a class on prophecy, or eschatology, I guess. And I learned that I could print that book cheaper than I could go to Kinko's and have the copies made. Wow. And it's called Create Space. See it right there? The last thing on there, createspace.com. If you're going to read, if you're going to write a book, you Google createspace.com. And this Charging Hell book cost me $1,500 to do it. Every one of these others cost me zero. And the reason it cost me zero was I led a graphic artist to the Lord. And she takes care of the cover for me. And I just upload them to Create Space. And this book right here is just under $2 cost. So I can do that cheaper and I can go to Kinko's, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just a kind of a workbook thing. So I'm out of time. Any questions? I know that was That was a bit much.
Where do we get your books again?
These books are on Amazon, but I'd like everybody in here to buy one just to prove that they don't pay me. I don't think they don't. Any questions? Here's what I know. Yes, quick. All right, let me just give you a little story here. So let's make something up. Okay, so let's say that we're all in the fire department. Okay, so you know that there's not always fires burning, but our job putting out fires. But every now and then, you know, we have to have other things going on in the firehouse. So we need somebody to cook. Can you cook?
Yes.
You don't mind cooking? Okay, so you'll be the cook, and we need someone to keep the sheets clean. Would you do that? Okay, thank you. And what are you good at? Polishing the bell? You, okay. Anybody here good at keeping dogs? Oh, there's a dog keeper right here.
Oh, man.
Okay, so now we, you know, you're going to have these hoses better be in good repair. Don't you think? Somebody keep hoses for me? Would you? All right, there's a hose keeper. So now we've got these things. But, and what did you say? What's your job again?
Cook.
That's what's wrong with the church today. She thinks her job is cooking. Her job is putting out fires. You're dismissed. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Average Joe's podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Also, please send us an email or give us a call if you know someone who would be willing to join us on future episodes of the Average Joe's podcast. Until next week, may God bless you. And to God be all the glory.